Hey, welcome to the Grace Hour, a daily program that takes a dive into the believer's daily challenges and helps him learn his faith in a practical way. My name is Pastor Dennis, and I will be joined with Pastor Philippe Siragi.
Yes.
Here in the studio. And today we'll be talking about, what are we talking about today?
That's a very good question. Yeah. We're talking about, let's put it, what you call microwave Christianity.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Right? Yeah. So, yeah, we talk about, well, the idea is okay, the week is covering the topic of maybe the scenes or the issues as Christian we don't really talk about. So today we're talking about, you know, self-gratification, you know, in that way. So this is our topic for the day.
Yeah. I mean, it's just really interesting.
I hope you did your assignment, though. You need to come prepared. This is a very good
I brought some blank papers, you know, to prove that I have nothing ready.
Okay.
So hopefully I have something worth saying.
All right, let's see what the Spirit has for you.
Yeah, I first want to open up by talking about my, you know, microwave mac and cheese.
I don't think we should give people recipes at this point. I'm a Frenchman. I don't like mac and cheese. You know, we don't microwave stuff.
Yeah.
We take time to, anyway, so I think the French people are way more Christian than the Americans because you guys do microwave instant food. And we wait for our food. Steamer food.
So there we are. We should be taking all of our spiritual philosophy from you guys.
Well, yes. Thank you for that.
No, I mean, really, just the idea is that in our culture, and culture really moves our spiritual well-being.
Yes.
So in these past few years, and I think it's even been worse since the pandemic, where people have been just sitting down and getting things that they need on their own, without even interaction with human beings. So not only is it instant, but it's without interaction. So I was like reading some statistics today about Netflix.
Yeah.
And 90% of millennials binge watch Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that means binge watching is anywhere from 2 to 6 shows. So 90% of those people are watching shows and they can't wait. And the interesting thing is that I was reading is that most of these people binge watching, they're not sitting down on their couch, you know, watching the TV. They're actually watching it while they're at work in other locations because there's such a need to finish or find out what's happening at the end. So it's a huge problem we have in our society.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting because, I mean, the whole point we want to make today is really, what do we want to say? We want to say that when we enter into some scenes in our life that would fall under the umbrella, what we would call self-gratification, which is a wide spectrum of things also, is also because we don't understand what God's plan is in our life. So I think what you're saying about Netflix and you have Amazon Prime, you know, I the other day I was talking to a friend and, you know, I wanted to have one of those Bluetooth headsets because I changed my phone recently and it used to have a jack, you know, and then now they don't anymore. So
yeah.
I'm thinking, well, I like to listen to music, what are some things? So I'm ordering it and it says, when I talked to this friend who knows a lot about technology, and they said, well, you should get this one. Okay, so I get it. I go on my phone.
Yeah.
I click on I use my thumb. I click on it, and guess what? By the time I got home, it was 9 o'clock in the morning. I got home at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and the package was at my door.
Yeah.
And that's the thing we're talking about. Like, we are so used to get things real fast, and we can't wait. And, you know, we just, you know, like you're saying about the binge watching, and I understand that the world would be functioning this way because like we are so like we're so stressed by things, we just like we cannot wait. But the whole point of the Christian life is to live in the Spirit.
Yes.
To have patience and all these things, and that's really what we want to talk about today.
When you look at Galatians chapter 5, it talks about, you know, the fruits of the Holy Spirit, and patience is in there, right?
Yes, it is.
And also like not living for self is also in there.
Yes.
And actually we read that the Bible says the solution to all this is really to crucify the flesh, not to reform the flesh. And I love it. You know, I was just reading this verse, 1 Corinthians 10:31, and it says, therefore, whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. So in one way, we are designed not to be instantaneous or to, you know, glorify my flesh or to have something instant. But really, I'm designed to glorify God. So when I am living my daily life, my walk with God, am I glorifying Him?
Yeah, I think it's. I mean, of course, what we're saying here is that we're not telling people, okay, if you're spiritual, if you don't watch TV, or you're currently, if you do watch TV, that's not the question. And there is the question of edgy shows and stuff. Like I think at Friday, this is the topic you know, and pornography and you know, edgy shows that we can easily find. So what we watch is very important, but not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is the idea is that I can't wait for things
right
anymore. I just like I don't have, and the point is when I do this, it's kind of a I think it breaks the relationship I have with God, even though it sounds like extreme, because I'm not trusting God anymore. Mm. I'm you know it's like I take matters in my own hands. That's I think that's one of the issue with self gratification is because I don't wait for God, I don't wait on God, I don't wait for, and I don't like a no from God, so I'm going to take things in my own hands, and that's exactly what we do with self gratification.
Yeah. Yeah, I was looking at Romans 12:12, mm-hmm. one of the verses that you mentioned,
mm-hmm.
and we could just read that. I love this verse. It says, rejoice in hope, mm-hmm. and then it says, be patient.
Yes.
I mean, you don't even have to read the rest of the verse. I mean, it's an amazing verse, obviously. But then it says, just be patient. And I think about in my life, like, when should I be patient? And in this verse, it says very specifically that I should be patient in tribulation.
Yes.
But if I look at my American life, is there tribulation in my life? And what's, you know, the writer, what Paul is saying to the Roman church, like what they're experiencing is not the tribulation that I'm experiencing today.
Yeah, yes.
Like I try to make it useful and, you know, applicable, and it is because I do go through trouble.
Yeah.
But the tribulation that they were going through is not the same tribulation that I'm going through. So if Paul's telling them to be patient in their kind of trouble, how much more so in my little bit of trouble or in my daily life now, should I also have patience?
Yeah, and I think it's always interesting when you think about, you know, I mean, we know that the flesh is enemy to God,
yes.
enmity, and then we know that the old man has nothing to do with the new man. We know that our thoughts are not God's thoughts in Isaiah 55. So when we understand this, like we have to understand that when we make choices in life, we either make them in a spiritual way, like we are in the spirit over in the flesh. And I think this is why the idea of waiting on God is such a big deal in the Bible. It's because we wait on God if we trust Him. And then when we don't wait on God, it's also a matter of not trusting Him.
Mm.
And when we fall into those sins like that we could, you know, that where we have in our life, that we're going to find pleasures for ourselves, not waiting on God, that really means that I don't think God is interested in me. I don't think God is willing to satisfy my needs, and also believe that God maybe has, we spoke about that when we spoke about prayer, the idea of like maybe God is not answering my prayer because He has ulterior motives. And yeah. I see that, you know, in my relationship with people, I can project that onto God as well.
Yeah, like God is maybe distant in my life.
Yes.
So therefore, because He's distant or uncaring, then therefore I can fulfill my own needs.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's also, I think, to take the topic a little differently, what I would say, like, when look at the Ten Commandments, right? We see the Ten Commandments and see them as a list of do's and don'ts, right? This is what most people see. Well, you know, you're taking my freedom away. Or I could see, well, this is reflects the character of God. And if I do follow and people do follow the Ten Commandments, I see them as a way to live that reflects the glory of God in my life, right? So I could say, well, the Bible says you shall not, and I can see that as somebody taking away my pleasure in life. But when I see that if everybody follows the commandments in the Bible, then my life is protected. My belongings are protected.
Yes.
Nobody will steal my wife.
Yeah.
That's the idea. So it's like the idea really here is I can look at the Bible and say, well, either you microwave this and I have what I need right now, or if I have to wait, I will take that as a discomfort, and I can't.
Yeah. Yeah, like I was reading this story about a psychologist. I mean, I think we've all heard this story. Like, there was a kid in a room, and they put a marshmallow in front of the kid.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, you tell the kid if you wait mm-hmm. and don't eat that marshmallow, you'll get two marshmallows at the end.
Yeah.
You know, and the study actually kind of suggested that people that have patience grow up to be more successful mm-hmm. in life.
Yeah.
In the practical aspect, like if there's somebody who is waiting and they're patient in their life and they're looking, like you're mentioning the Ten Commandments, and they're really, you know, like the rules that we could say that the Bible has, they're designed to help us to grow, not restrict.
Yes.
But that growth does take time.
Yes.
So if I'm listening to what God is saying in some of these rules, and some things are not commandments, they're just things that God says that we should be living by these, and then I find that in my life I'm growing and I'm becoming more like Him. And then in my life I am like more healthy spiritually.
Yeah.
And more successful spiritually. Like,
yes.
People are unsuccessful in their soul or in their spirits. Like, they are defeated by, you know, other addictions.
Mm-hmm.
They're defeated by self-pleasure. They're defeated by lust patterns. And the reason why they're defeated is very simply because, you know, they are not allowing God,
mm-hmm.
you know, to help them grow in this area. They want to fulfill their own needs.
Yes. Yeah, and then when I try to fulfill my own needs, it's because I don't believe that God will.
Right.
And that's interesting because it goes back to a thing that you sent, like we were preparing to the talk today. You told me about what is our design. You know, our design is to please God. What you, you know, when you put that in a note, what did you mean by that?
Yeah, well, I was just thinking about, you know, Genesis chapter 3, you know, chapter 2, like we were created in a certain way as human beings. And you look at even man's fallen states, or we could say man as an unbeliever, they still have the fingerprint of God in their life,
mm-hmm.
meaning that they have an image. They're image carriers of who God is.
Yeah.
And really, in our life, you know, as believers, it's so much more so that we were designed to bear the image of God.
Yes.
And I think you said it very beautifully. Like, we're not, it's not like like a legalistic kind of way, like we have to do this or we have to do that, but it is in such a way that it becomes natural in my life because of the character of God inside of me.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the calling of God in our life, I'm going to say it differently. Like, that we were talking about that earlier, but I think it's, you know, it's like in the ministry that I have in the church, I used to be the director of MBCNS, you know, for 7 years, and now I'm doing, in our church here locally, the young adults ministry, and it leads me to a lot of conversation. And what's finally interesting is that, is the disconnect between what they know, and I'm saying, I'm including myself because in many areas, I'm sure I'm living the same way, but I think the disconnect we have as Christians, because what we know from God and the Bible, and then when we don't translate that into our daily life, then we take matters in our own hands again.
Yes.
And I had this conversation not too long ago. It was interesting because two people were talking to me, and they were going through, not together, but they were come to me to talk about a difficult situation, and they were explaining the fact that things are going south, you know, they're not doing better, and then I said, well, you know, I asked him a couple of questions. What do you believe about, you know, I asked him three or four questions about the Bible. Yeah, I agree with you. I think it's biblical, you know. And I said, but it's funny to me, like, you know these principles, but you don't apply them, you know.
Yes.
And in their own mind, the idea was almost thinking, like, well, really, but it doesn't really work, you know.
Yeah.
Meaning fast enough.
Yeah.
So I think it's funny how we naturally resort to what we know naturally, you know, in our lives, instead of trusting God in the waiting period. And that connects to the idea of self-gratification. I want something to be resolved quickly.
Yeah.
I don't want trial. I don't want pain. And in the Western world, comfort is also one of those. I think it, in a way, it leads to a lot of sin because we want things to be very comfortable. Like, just another example. Like, and I'm an outsider. You can tell from my accent. I mean, you know that because you know me. But I mean, for those who don't, obviously, you can hear I'm not from here. But the point is, okay, like, you know, our producer Sebastian is also from France, so he can back me up or not back me when I say. But like, it's the first time I heard about opioid dependence is when I came in America. Never heard about painkillers dependence ever in my life.
Huh.
It's very typical to America, and I do think it's because people want comfort. Meaning is that I don't allow you, if you're my doctor, I don't allow you to impose any pain on me. Yes. I want this to be as painless as possible. When I go to the dentist here, I go, you know, like everybody, every 6 months, you know, for a checkup. And the dentist is making sure before he's going to come to you, like, oh, it's not going to be, you won't feel anything, maybe a little pressure, it's okay, you know, thinking, like, in France, the guy is there, he's got it on the clock, he's going to do what he's going to do, you know, so it's like, you're in pain, you know, like, well, you know, just have to learn to live with it.
Yeah, in America, we call that bedside manners.
Yeah, well, yeah, we don't have that. But the point here is, like, we look at the consequences, like, we want the comfort, we cannot wait for the pain to go away, so we don't want to have the pain.
Yes.
And now we have a pandemic, which is an opioid pandemic in the country. And yeah. I think it's connected, you know.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, I just want to like repeat what you said. Like theologically, we without have the these ideas without the accent. Yes, yeah, so that way everybody else online can understand.
Thank you.
Well, I'm so English, the English translation.
Yeah, the English, the modern English translation.
Yeah. So I mean, theologically, I mean, a lot of believers they have beliefs about God.
Yes.
But that never enters into their daily life.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So what we need to understand is that. You know, the Bible is practical. Not only is it practical, like, you know, it is theological also, but it is also designed to be real in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's also God's desire. But the thing is like, we don't see God's timing in our timing.
Yeah.
You know, so that's where this whole issue is coming. Like, here is the theology, and then you could mention the theology, but am I willing to see God in the waiting, in that time in between? You know, we sit and we pray, and then God doesn't answer, so then what do I do? Now I stop believing in God because I prayed.
Yeah.
Well, how long did you wait? Oh, I waited 2 months and God didn't answer. I waited 10 years and God didn't answer. Well, what about God's timing instead mm-hmm. of your timing? Do you trust, and this is like the question that I like, is do you trust the character of God mm-hmm. enough to wait and see what God is going to do?
Yes.
And if I'm able to wait, then this whole idea of like self is kind of disappears.
Yeah. Or you could even ask the question a little further. Do we trust God enough to hear a no in a prayer?
Yes.
Because waiting is one thing, but hear a definite no and trust God for his decision and his wisdom in my life. It's also something that is very important in our life as a Christian. You know, can I wait? You know, I put down some verses, and one of them would be like Psalm 130, verse 5. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, in his word do I hope.
Mm-hmm.
And what I like about that is the psalmist is not saying, well, I'm waiting for the Lord, like, okay, here I am, you know, crossing my arms, waiting for God to do something. He's waiting for God, but then he's also saying, well, I'm going to wait for a word from God. So even if I don't get the answer to my prayer, I'm going to wait for a promise that he will.
Yes.
And that's even like a one step further. I could wait for God to do something, or I could also say, I'm going to wait for God to tell me he will do something, and that's enough.
Yeah.
I think this verse is amazing in that sense.
Yeah, I mean, because it points to the stability of God's word.
Yes.
In our life. And now as believers, maybe I'm not going to hear a direct like voice of God, but mm-hmm. I have his written word in front of me.
That's what it is.
You know, so I can look and I can say, hey, the Bible is, and here's the thing. The Bible says something. The Bible says that these, and then there's lists of sins,
mm-hmm.
you know, and some of these sins are being talked about this week, you know, and there's a list of sins, and God is saying, like, these should not be in your life. And then here I am in a Western society saying, well, you know, who says, you know, really, do these things belong? You know, why not? Mm-hmm. You know, millennials are known for asking the question, why?
Yeah.
Like, you tell me no, but I'm going to ask the question why.
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible says, like, no, God says the answer is no. And do I trust God's nature enough to understand that the answer is no and it's not healthy for me?
Mm-hmm.
It's not okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's amazing when you think about, I think when we put God back to where he belongs and we put ourselves where we belong, and then there is a healthy way of understanding life this way, is that, yes, I make my prayer known unto God. Yes, I pray, but can I trust God for an answer? Can I wait for an answer? Can I be okay with a no? All these things put us back in the idea of, you know, okay, well, I won't take matters in my own hands in the wrong way. Like, okay, I'm not ready to wait for God. And we see that with Abraham, for example.
Yes.
He's got a promise from God. You will have a son. You know, and then, well, you know, he's waiting and waiting and waiting. So he did have a son.
Yeah.
Wrong wife. Not his wife, actually. But it's the same idea with sin. It's like, okay, and then we can see that. You can list the things. It's funny how when I'm thinking about it as we speak, the amount of problems that we have in our lives that are based on the fact we can't wait. Right?
Yeah.
So, like, as I was saying, we don't want to wait with pain, so I'm going to have opioids. I'm going to become dependent. I don't want to wait to be married to have a sexual relationship, so I'm going to do in fornication.
Yeah.
I'm not satisfied with the relation that I have with my spouse, so I'm going to go, oh, that's adultery. I'm not going to wait for some change.
Yeah.
You know, there's everything that is based on the sins that we see in the Bible that are based on it's based on two things. I don't trust God, and I want it now. I want it to be resolved now. And that is really, for the Christian, the reason why we got to be careful, because my flesh is the same as everybody else's flesh.
Yes.
And if I'm not careful, if I don't realize, and one thing I teach the students at Greater Grace Christian Academy 2 hours a week, and we teach them apologetics, which is the defense of the faith. And one thing I told them one day, I said, one thing you don't realize is that I'm not saying I know better than you because of your life experience. That's true when you get older. But I said, the difference between you and I, it's not because you mess up and I don't. The difference is you mess up, I mess up. The difference, you don't know it and I know it. That's the difference. So what I learned in my life as a Christian is I can mess up big time.
Yeah.
Therefore, I have to trust God. Yeah. I need to do like Job, making a covenant with my eyes. If I don't make this covenant with my eyes, I know what's coming, but they don't know it yet.
Yeah. I mean, and also I think just to have definition of like, there are things that God says is wrong, you know, because there seems to be in this day and age, in our instant microwave society, where things that were wrong now are no longer wrong.
Yes.
So to have a definition and a source of truth saying like, hey, like these things are true and they're not something, they don't reflect the character of God. And you mentioned some of those sins. And it's true, they don't reflect the character of God, and they are wrong. And what is our source of absolute truth? Is it our culture?
Yes.
Or is it going to be the Word of God?
Yes.
And my pastor, or you know, a body member that defines these things and says, hey, these are wrong, and you are ashamed of them, and you hide them. Why? Because it is not right in the eyes of God.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting how, you know, I mean, I teach the class of Christian ethics, you know, in Maryland Bible College, and I did that the last time, and we had a conversation and then with young people, and some of them were like trying to understand how to relate in society, because I have a friend, you know, he doesn't have the same conviction, so you know, he believes that, you know, gay marriage is okay, or they're gay, maybe themselves, you know, whatever the issue is in one way. And the point here is that and I said, you know, like as Christians, how do I relate to that society? And they're trying to understand, you know, you're saying that things, there's no transcendent truth, and we can adapt. You know?
Yeah, we adapt. Yeah.
Yeah, we can change things. And the point is, I told them that like, if you're a young person, you look at your parents, and you look at them and says, well, you know, they were wrong back in the day. Don't you think that your children would do the same with you?
Yeah.
Because you didn't go far enough. We never go far enough for sin. We never go far enough for, you know. So the point is, how far do I need to go to be satisfied, to satisfy everybody for the next 5 generations? It won't be possible.
Right.
So we look back in history, we look at those guys, they did something wrong, and they actually did, you know, like before, you know, when we had slavery, we got these heroes, they own slaves, it's bad.
Yeah.
But I'm sure if I was in the same family, I would have done the same thing.
Yeah.
I think I'm better, you know, so the point here is like, I'm looking at this, oh, the world is going this way, as a Christian, I need to adapt.
Right.
You know, I don't need to adapt, because you won't be adapting enough.
Yeah, we're transformed, yes. You know, by the Word of God.
Yes.
Not like into the image, yes, of this world, right?
Yes.
And I think that's such a key point in our walk. Like, the definition of right and wrong comes from the Word of God.
Yes. Yeah. And if the world says it's okay to have sexual relationship outside of marriage, it does not mean because the world says it that you can't. You know, the big word, if you're on social media, you realize that people are pushing for something. And when they push for something, they will use the word normalize.
Mm-hmm.
Normalize this, normalize that. And like, no, you don't have to normalize everything.
Right.
Because like in my flesh as a young person, you know, I remember being finding some challenge in my life, and I realized, well, if I had this normalized mentality, I don't know if I would be here today, because I would have made some other decisions in my life, and I would have been going places. Maybe, of course, God can do everything with our life. He can redeem things. But where would I be today? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, so here we have a list of sins in the Bible. I mean, Galatians chapter 5 talks about the works of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Today we're kind of talking about self-gratification,
mm-hmm,
loosely. So here is a list of sins. The problem is the flesh, yep, causing us not to be patient.
Mm-hmm.
What is the solution to us, you know, growing in patience? And what,
yeah,
do you think the solution is?
That's a very good question. I think well, we can, you know, like, it's always two solutions. Either there's a legalistic one, and we solve the problems
well,
by religion.
Let's do that one. Okay?
Well, yeah,
let's do 10 steps to being patient.
Yeah, same. Well, okay, so step one. The other one is really like understanding that everything that changes in our life has to be a fruit of the Spirit. you know, it's interesting. If you go to Galatians and then Galatians 2, and we have the fruit of the Spirit and the works of the flesh, there's always two things I find interesting. Number one, that Paul is using two different terms. He's saying the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes.
So different things. The works takes some work, and the fruit takes nothing. It's just going to be there.
Time.
It takes time, but fruit, you know, an apple tree will make apples.
Yes.
So it's bound to make apples. And the other thing is plural and singular. He's not saying the fruits of the Spirit. He's saying the fruit of the Spirit, singular. But there's 9 points. And I think what it means by that is, naturally, I could be a meek person. Naturally, I could be a patient person. I could be filled with self-control as a naturally. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't mean these are the fruits of the Spirit. The reason why, for me, it's singular, it's because if you're in the Spirit, you'll have all these aspects. Whether you have them natural or not, you have all of them.
Yes.
So for me to be able to live in patience when I'm not, and trust me, ask my wife, she'll tell you I'm not a patient person at all. But for me to be able to be patient, I don't have to go through 10 steps.
Yeah.
I just have to go to God and say, God, the only way this is going to work is if you make it happen.
Yeah.
And I can trust. I need to learn how to trust God. And like in any relationship, we solve issues by learning who the person is. That's what we do.
Yeah.
And I think it's the same with God.
Yeah, I was thinking about it in a little bit of a different way, but I love that. Like, if I attain, or, you know, I don't want to say attain God, but if he attains more of me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he must increase and I naturally decrease,
yes.
right? As he is more, then in my life, I am more like who God is.
Mm-hmm.
So I no longer, and I love that distinction, that it's no longer the works of the flesh, but now it becomes a fruit of the Holy Spirit. You know, I was reading this story about people who are more likely to take make risky decisions,
mm-hmm.
and people that are more likely to make risky decisions are make those decisions because they don't have enough.
Hmm.
You know,
yes.
So there's a study that it was done in the Amazon, it was done in India, and it was also done in Australia, and I think it was 20,000 people were being surveyed here, and. They said, like, here, kind of like the marshmallow thing, like, here, you could have one candy now, but if you wait, you know, 2 weeks, you have the option of possibly choosing from these 6 bags and getting more than one piece of candy.
Mm-hmm.
And people that were, and this is interesting that they said, people that were educated and people that were rich were more likely to wait than people who were uneducated and poor. You know, so I was thinking about it, you know, in the spiritual terms, like, if I know, like, more about my faith, and there is, like, a word of God kind of bank in my soul, like, then I find myself not in so much need where I have to make that risk.
Yeah.
Because I am so rich in the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
It is so much in me. And like, what you're saying, like, the Holy Spirit is in my life, and I find myself without need. So now I'm able to wait and see what God is going to do. And then it produces something that is beautiful and that is also useful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's amazing when you think this way because, I mean, it's always a choice. Like, as a Christian, I always have two choices before me. Is either I'm going to trust God or I'm not going to trust God. I'm going to walk in the Spirit, I'm going to walk in the flesh. It's the same thing all the time. And I think sometimes, you know, I mean, I'm just saying, like, no wonder God speaks about patience and waiting on God and trusting him, because God is not interested in that instant relationship either that we would want. Like, I'm praying and I don't feel anything. I go to church, nothing has changed. Like, there is so much of God in I guess, so much in our relationship with God that God wants us to be building a relationship based on the person, not what he wants. You know, what we can get out of him.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with people. When you have some friends and they realize that you are in it for what you can get, that's not a real relationship. And I think sometimes we can do the same with God. And then we're disappointed because we don't get things according to our own agenda. And then that's where we go back to the self-gratifications. I'm gonna take my matters in my own hands and I'm going to make it happen. And that has a lot of repercussions in our life.
The whole idea of self, too, is like it eliminates... You know, they're being plural, like eliminates relationship.
Yes.
You know, and God is very concerned about relationship, and relationship does take time. You know, I don't know how long you've been married. I've been married for about 16 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I was dating my wife 20 years ago, I was like, I love this girl, you know,
mm-hmm.
But that idea of love that I had 20 years ago cannot be compared to the definition of that I have for love now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there is relationship that is being involved, and that relationship has grown in ways that, you know, when you're younger, you can never imagine.
Yes.
So in your relationship with God, and you put the word self there, and then you put in self-gratification, you put in all these sins, like you're automatically eliminating, you know, God for one, but then you're also eliminating, you know, other relationships that you might need in your life.
It's interesting because, I mean, like, I'm not so interested in social media for the social media itself, but I'm on it because I relate to a lot of young people, and so just, you know, and when I was director at MBCNS, we had, you know, social accounts, and the only way for me to be able to participate was to have an account. So all this to say that what's interesting to me is also that, because you're talking about self and friendship, and you know, we get some younger person, you know, in the, across, they can wave yes or no if they want to, but the point is that one thing that I find is more and more people are posting about the fact that okay, so you're looking for a friend, right? So let's say, like, you and I, we don't know each other, but, and there's two ways we can become friends on my side. Either you're going to be my friend or I'm going to be your friend.
Right.
It's either or. Now, if I'm on the self-gratification side, I'm not going to be your friend. I'm going to wait for you to be my friend.
Right.
And then what happens now in social media is when people don't bring you what you want, that means they're not supposed to be in your life. And you get rid of toxic people. That's what they call them. So we have toxic people and you want to get rid of them. But then you're rid... Because actually, you know, like, the one thing is, like, people are saying on the social media, I don't know if you guys have noticed that, you know, if they don't, they won't call me if I don't call them, you know, so you get, so that means that they're not your friends. I don't know about that. I got many people in my life that I'm sure if I stop texting them, they won't text me for a month.
Yeah.
Does that mean they're not my friends? Maybe they're not the texting type.
Yeah.
But then this instant gratification, I want my friends to be around me, exclude a lot of people because I'm the center of friendship, and I shouldn't be. I should be your friend more than you'd be my friend, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. And then that also kind of, you know, walks into the fact that, you know, I have to have what I want in this relationship.
Yes.
And again, it all goes back to, you know, me, and what can you provide for me? If you're not responding to me, you know, you're not building my ego.
Yeah.
You know? And it's interesting, like, this whole idea of instant society, Amazon Prime, having it in a couple hours even sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
TV binge watching is that, you know, a lot of studies are pointing to the idea that, you know, after I binge watch or after I meet my selfish needs, how much mental instability there is, mm-hmm. how much guilt there is, how much shame there is. And also, I mean, we could even say physically how these things affect me.
Mm-hmm.
They actually affect my heart, and a heart disease goes up through the roof because of these, you know, instant gratification sins,
mm-hmm.
or just these binge, you know, watching or whatever, you know. But the whole idea is that self, you know, becomes toxic.
Yeah.
Like, you know, let's forget about getting rid of toxic people online. How about just the idea that self is toxic?
Mm-hmm.
So I need to get rid of self and look more towards God.
Yeah, I remember a conversation that I had. So as you know, I'm from France, and in southern France was where I was in Bible college. These were both Sebastian and I come from. I mean, I'm not from there originally, but I moved there when I was 13 years old. And when I was in Bible college, I think I was 18 or 19 years old. And I went out in the street and we're talking, doing some evangelism. And then I see a group of guys, maybe, I don't know, 10, 12, 15 guys, don't remember. And I said, well, I'm going to go to talk to those guys. So it's a Saturday night. It's, you know, it's a night where people go for, you know, nightclubs and
right.
stuff. I'm just going to go there and have a conversation with them. So here I am. To give him a track, talking, preaching the gospel. Out of 10, 12, say the three of them are listening. The other ones are kind of looking at watch. They want to go.
Right.
And the conversation kind of engaged. It was interesting because I said, well, what are you guys doing tonight? Where are we going to a nightclub? And they look at me and says, well, that's something you cannot do as a Christian. And I look at them and says, well, I could. I'm going to tell you something. I could sin. I could do whatever I want and still be saved. Because if I'm really saved, I won't lose my salvation. So look at me, like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I said, but the things you cannot do is not go tonight because you're bound to do it. I said, what do you mean? They said, well, I'm going to give you a challenge, okay? So they were high schoolers. So I tell them, you go home tonight, you do your dishes, you know, with a mom, you clean up your room, you do whatever. And then when you go back to school on Monday morning, they were seniors in high school, so most of them.
Yeah.
And then when you go to school on Monday morning, you're going to tell, you know, your friends how you spend your weekend, you know, and they're going to, well, we're not losers. That's the point. You think you're a loser because you don't do what, you know, you think you're not a loser because you're going to the nightclub, and but you're forced to go, otherwise you look like a loser.
Yeah.
So who's really free now? I could go, you can go. And then we spoke about freedom, and this is the first thing about, they need the so, I mean, I was almost the same age, maybe 1 or 2 years difference, you know.
Yeah.
But the point I told them is that there's a couple things you have to understand. Number one is that you're trying to find value with people that don't love you. Because if they did love you, you wouldn't have to do anything to get value in their eyes. And number two, you tell me you're free and I'm not. I'm telling you I'm so free that I can not only do what I want, but I also can do not what I want.
Right.
Meaning exactly, I'm so free that I will not do what I would like to do.
Yeah.
And that's a real freedom because I'm free from self as well, as much as I'm free from everything else. So you are there, you have a freedom which is confined within what the society tells you to do if you want to be cool.
Mm.
And I don't care at all, which makes me a lot more free than you.
Yeah.
And that they never realized that before. And that was the conversation when it became interesting. And that's the other self gratification. I want to be cool now. I want to be loved now. I want to do this. I want to be popular. I want to sit at the cool table, you know, at the cafeteria. And all these things are based on the fact that we want to be loved. We want to be accepted now. And as Christians, we have like a bigger life. Yes, I could do what the world does, but I don't need it.
Right.
I don't want it anymore. And not only that, and when I think that I would want it, I don't have to be a slave of my own will.
Yeah.
I can be bigger than that. And I think it's the thing that the Holy Spirit gives us.
Yeah.
You know?
It'd be interesting to see, you know, if any of them went home and did dishes for their mom.
I don't think none of them did, They didn't have the character to do it, you can tell. It's like, no, we're not losers, we're going to do this.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't change, you know, because as you get older, it's the same story as in the workplace, you know. You know, what you do in the evenings and how you waste your time or how you don't waste your time. You know, but the whole idea is that, you know, we understand how God has created us.
Mm-hmm.
We understand whose image we are created in. And we understand, you know, our God, our Father. Like, we know that we're in His image, but we also know who He actually is.
Yes.
And as we are learning who He is, we are, and I love that idea, like, that we are so free to function in, like, sanctification.
Yes.
Like, here's an amazing verse talking about self-gratification, actually. And it's in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 3 through 6. So it is God's will. You know, this is interesting. Like, what is God's will in my life? That you should be sanctified.
Mm-hmm.
That you should avoid sexual immorality. That each of you should learn to control your own body in a way that that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's a difference here. Like, for one, like, what is God's will?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then the other thing is like, and who am I now? You know, okay, I know God, so I'm a believer.
Mm-hmm.
Not like the pagans who don't know who God is and they live any way they want to or they live according to culture. We have something new that has been initiated to us through the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So now I have God in my life. And now because of that, I know what God's will is for me.
Mm-hmm.
And it is to be sanctified. And that word sanctified, I mean, it's a scary word for people because it becomes not cool.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's like, I can't, like, go home, you know, on Monday, go to work and say, hey, you know, I was sanctified this weekend.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's not a cool story. People want to hear how, you know, what I watched, how drunk I was, you know, how I spent my money. You know, that's what they want to hear. They want to hear that you went to church and you hung out and had dinner with a bunch of believers. Like, so the idea of being sanctified is not cool.
Yeah.
Because it's not, to them, free.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think it's also what people don't realize, and especially the young people, is that the conversation about self-gratification or doing things that are not, you know, that are seen, you know, it's like, well, in a way, it's like, you know, you go to college or high school or whatever you're in the world, I mean, a workplace, people are going to coerce you in doing things that you that are seen. And it's because two things. Number one is that that's where how they find relief and pleasure.
Yes.
So it's seen, but that's how they find relief and pleasure. And they will think you should too.
Yeah.
And they cannot see how you can find relief without it. And number two, if they have any form of guilt, they want to make sure you do it too so they don't feel the guilt anymore.
Mm.
And that is so interesting when you realize that, because we find ourselves in the pattern of self-gratification with sin. And then we find ourselves in the same way. We went into this because we were pushed into it. You know, in one way, and on the other side, we find ourselves doing it because we don't have that relationship with God anymore. Like, we trust Him, so we find the pleasure that we want right now from somewhere else.
Yeah.
But I, like, for me, it's like, do I need to do? Yeah, people say, you know, like, oh, you go to church, how boring. Well, if you went to church and if you were saved and went to church, you wouldn't find this boring.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the point is, do I need to do this? I don't anymore. It's like, it's not like I can't.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm religiously forbidden to do this. There is sin, of course, and God doesn't want us to fall in sin. But I really don't do this because I don't need to.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need to. I have found something in Christ. I found satisfaction, and like the Rolling Stones kind of get no satisfaction. But that we find, you know, like we found satisfaction in Christ.
Yeah.
And it means now when I have this, and really in a way go back to the idea of all the sins we do because of self gratifications. If I list the sins and I look at them, and it becomes like my focus as a Christian, I'm just going to be destroyed by it, or I'm going to be discouraged by it, or I can turn around, do 180 and look over here and see Christ, and that will take everything. This is what Paul says in Galatians 5:16-17. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Exactly.
The legalist mindset will tell you, well, wait, do not fulfill the lust of the flesh, then you will walk in the Spirit as a reward.
Yes.
That would be a legalistic mindset.
Yeah.
But what is your problem? I can see someone listening to us today and say, well, I have problems. I have sexual, desires, tensions, or I just don't know what I have as convictions. What I see in the world, I'm tempted. You know, I want to. You know, I'm falling into self gratification. You know, category of people that want to find pleasure right now. What do I do? Well, nothing. Just walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Yeah.
There is your solution. You know?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes we look at our sin and actually, what does it do? Instead of we look at it to try to solve the issue, but it actually ends up feeding it more.
Yes.
You know, so it's almost like, you know, we don't want to be ignorant of it, but also if we were to maybe ignore it.
Yeah.
Because we don't have to feed that at all. We want to feed the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
You know, in that verse in 1 Thessalonians 4, I mean, it says, you know, learn to control your own body. It's like, you know, okay, like, yes, maybe there is like works there, right? But how do I learn to control?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I learn to control by understanding, like, God is in control of my life.
Yeah.
But if God's not in control of my life, then I'm, like, having to use a lot of energy to control my flesh, which is impossible.
And like you go back to the, you know, the study you showed with the kids and marshmallows, I read about the same. It was interesting when I saw the video, the ones that were most tempted and actually ended up by it are the one that looked at it, smelt it, came close, and they couldn't resist. And the ones that find a solution to it, they actually turn around in that one experiment I saw and they didn't look at it. They were focusing on something else.
Yes.
I think
that's the 180 you're talking about.
Yeah, that's the lesson there. It's like, okay, I could look at my sin and that's a problem. I'm looking at this, man, this is a problem. I shouldn't have that pen. This pen is a problem. Do you know about my pen? Let me tell you why my pen is a problem. This is a problem for me. I shouldn't have that. How cool is it, though? But I don't know if I should take care of it. I shouldn't own this. And I'm here talking about this the whole time. Well, I should just toss it and look at, you know, and just
forget
focus
about
on something
it.
Else.
Yeah.
Then it won't be an issue anymore. So the only way for me to solve my issues with self-gratification and sin is not to try to do better or be a better person or go to therapy by having somebody fix it for me. I can turn to God.
Yeah.
I'm not saying, you know, nothing can be solved by therapy. It's a different topic. But my sin needs to be addressed by the Holy Spirit.
But the core issue is, like, I can't, like, you know, deal with issues like that all the time.
No, I can't.
Like, I have to deal, like...
It's tiring.
A lot, like, the self-gratification is a surface issue, right?
Yes.
What's the real issue? The issue is my heart, and you mentioned earlier, you know, it is my flesh, and it wars against the Spirit.
Yes.
But if I'm actually in the Spirit, then actually I find that I don't have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So the real core of the issue is that if I really learn who God is, and God is in my life, like, if is God in my life? Is He real?
Mm-hmm.
Is my heart okay with God? My heart being okay with God doesn't mean I'm without sin, but it actually means that I'm properly related to sin.
Yes.
You know, which is interesting because therefore I could, you know, be a believer, go to the club, and I could sin. I had the freedom to sin. And I'm still saved.
Mm-hmm.
But what does that sin do to me?
Yes.
That means it doesn't do, you know, it brings in guilt. And actually, guilt in one sense can be good.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a signal in my brain saying, hey, there's something wrong in your life. And you're not, and as a believer, as we could say, you're not properly related to the whole, you're not properly relating to God. Mm-hmm. So there's something wrong. So you need to get right with God.
Yes.
And that's what happens when my heart is right with God, is that even if there is sin, it produces like a little bit of guilt in my life, and it brings me back to God and saying, God, I need more of you. Mm-hmm. I need less of the pen.
Yes.
Get rid of the pen.
Yeah.
Throw it out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you listen today, you struggle with those things. It's just that you get two things you can do. Of course, like all of us, you can go to God and be filled with the spirits, or you can go to someone you trust that is someone that has experience and talk and just have people help you, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
That's good.
I think that's it, all right?
Yeah, those are the two things that
we've
can
done
do.
It. We've done it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Awesome.
You want
to... All right, so thank you for joining us today. And please don't forget to subscribe to our show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, etc., etc., etc. So please listen tomorrow again, same time. God bless you. Bye-bye.